All right. Moving on with our program, I think in this day and age, ChatGPT and all the other things will not do justice to this program if you don't have an AI-specific topic. We have risks from AI-driven cyber attacks. That's going to be our next topic. And it's going to be presented by Preston Subramani. Preston is a highly experienced cybersecurity professional. He is currently serving as the head of cyber security at Old Mutual Limited in Johannesburg. He just came right across the road. We didn't have to fly him up here. With over a decade of experience in the field, Preston has an attacker mindset-driven approach to cybersecurity and has innovative strategies to combat evolving cyber threats. Preston holds prestigious certifications such as CISSP, that's Certified Information System Security Professional, and CISM, which is Certified Information Security Manager, which underscore their expertise and commitment to the field. Without further ado, I'd like to leave this time now to Preston to take us in this nice afternoon session after having our lunch. Over to you, Preston.
Good afternoon, and very full stomachs. Around. I think you stole my punchline. I was going to say I came from far and wide, but it's just across the road. But I did have some drama anyway crossing the road. But nevertheless, we made it. I'm here. It's an absolute honor and privilege to be, you know, giving this talk in front of you. I usually give this talk to people who know about IT, and no pun intended. I'm going to talk about risks from AI-driven cyber attacks. And we might as well just dive into it. Hopefully, you take a lot from this, and let's see where it goes. I'll try and speed up because I'm sure, or I hope so, that we'll have some questions from it. But yeah, let's look at the agenda. I'll touch on where are we now, what we're looking at, what I see from an industry perspective, as well as within Old Mutual. So I don't know if anybody from Old Mutual is around here. Oh, hi guys. I'll focus and touch on some risks and insights into AI. I might go a bit deep into AI, but it's all relevant. I'll talk about something, well, as I was doing this, something called a cyber actuary. Probably first time you guys would hear something like this. I was doing some research and like, how do I get through to these guys? They're smart already. So what do I do? Found some interesting stuff. I think you'll be quite impressed. I'll talk about singularity. I'll give you everybody 10 seconds to Google what singularity is before I get to that slide. And then I'll touch on the stages of AI, where we're at, where we're going to, and where we're heading to, basically, and what the world, in my opinion, would look like. And then I'll talk specifically on cyber attacks, what we currently face, and then cyber attacks regarding Gen AI. And then I have something special for you at the end, where we have been subjected to an attack by AI on Mutual itself. So without stealing the thunder, we'll get to that. But yeah, let's head through. So everybody understands AI has taken off. It'll impact our lives and the way society operates. And at a root level, generations to come. We're moving into this new era, and we know that AI already, as of today, contributes to 4% of global GDP. See, I said GDP, so hopefully I get your attention on that on that part. But some of the key benefits that we know of now that we're looking at is like it will and fastly becoming the economic engine. And what do I mean by that? So we know it's already transforming industries. We also know that it's driving major investment, and it's going to be the central part of the larger economy itself. The other one was regulatory acceleration, see, another word for you on that side, which is economic progress is matched by fast regulation. So we're going to find that policies, standards, specifically from governments and in private organizations, those things, you can't just design it and leave it on the shelf anymore. It's going to have to be changed quite regularly and rapidly. The next one is technological maturity, which is AI will drive that moving forward. So what I mean by maturity is that AI is faster. It's more mature now. It's autonomous. It's model-based, and I'm sure those words have been thrown around in all the talks before, but how do we adapt to that, and how do we actually tackle the challenges and risks coming from AI? And then the last one was public influx. I found this out recently. But so while there's excitement about AI and its benefits, so productivity, we mostly use it for creativity, stuff that we didn't think of, or just too lazy to think of, I guess, in that sense. But there's also a rising anxiety around risks, which is what we're here for. Anxiety around jobs, security, and as well as mental health. I mean it when I get through the slides. Also, the rise of agentic AI, because that's what we're at right now. It's not a chatbot anymore. So it's a lot of agent-based. I'm going to take you guys through it. But the point of it is it for the agents to act as anonymous beings to do the work for you, like a human, which is why we're training AI. And obviously, the difference between the way we interact with AI right now and agentic AI, which is almost right here, is that we ask it something, it gives us back. Agentic AI, if you can remember, is it remembers everything you asked it. And it's going to take you right through. So I'll take you guys through the stages of AI. A little joke, I would say, of a future disease that we would come across. And I know a lot of us dealing with a lot of large data sets, specifically talking to AI itself. I think that was quite cool. If I just dive into the risks, yeah, exactly. And there's many risks that's coming to AI, but I wanted to focus on three specific risks, so it's around data security, privacy, and obviously reputational risk itself. So we know, I mean, every day we use data. Data is like oil for us right now. Our businesses are overly reliant on data, and that's not going to change. It's the same data that powers AI, it's just that it's looking at it a bit differently. But what we see is that AI needs to, and the data, and how AI accesses the data, it must be balanced with like human judgment, ethical safeguards, as well as ethical practices, in the sense that it's uncontrollable at this point. So all of the standards, all of the guidelines is by these private companies who are pushing it through. Now, AI in the US, maybe the same agent working in South Africa, but it doesn't give you the same output that you would like. I think each society is different, and we really are seeing or facing those challenges yet. From a cyber perspective, we have the state-of-the-art firewalls. We've got really fancy endpoint security monitoring software. Don't get freaked out, but it's there on your laptop. And also, we push the traditional sense of what is a secure password. I hope you guys know what is a secure password, or how do you create a secure password. Passphrases, if you forget. Create passphrases. Don't use passwords anymore on that. And then one of the more specific AI attacks, which is brand new, but it's called a chain of thought attack. Because as we converse with AI, now we understand that typical systems and typical cyber attacks will come after you. They look at you, how can we send you a phony email, hoping you click the link and then get access to your computer and start stealing all your data. The inverse of this, with regards to AI itself, we see that people are exploiting how you talk to AI, and as well as how does AI respond to you. So the chain of thought, meaning injecting malicious actions into that thought. And I'll explain that in a second. The other part is malware generation at scale. I mean, if I look at data from two years ago, it'll take an attacker a good couple of months, sometimes a year, depending on how advanced a malware and what it wants to steal from you. AI does it in 5 seconds. So the rate of malware that we're seeing that we need to defend against is absolutely crazy. And it's smart. It's smart. So when we get to AGI stages, we're going to be looking at how do we even defend against these type of attacks. But basically, the chain of thought attack is to inject themselves as you're talking into AI, trying to influence AI and the AI response to you. I'm just going to move to the next slide. The current risks that what we've seen, obviously, out in the open and OMutual itself, is that Most of the AI apps that are available today, so they were vulnerable to jailbreaking attempts. They produced responses that instructions for self-harm. If you guys want me to go into detail, when AI, about a year ago, AI returned some input to some individual, I'm not going to release it, but how to build a nuclear bomb. Exactly how to do it, what you need. And that was a scary fact that the world started panicking and doing it. It's like, how do you even control something that thinks on its own, basically? It also provided massive safety hazards in terms of how to poison water and build your own bullets and doing this stuff. While we're looking at it from an organization perspective of how we gain competitive advantage, the same system can be used for harm. And that's what I'm saying, pushing forward. We also know that 49% of organizations globally use Microsoft Copilot, even though there's many other AI agents out there. I am not a salesman for Microsoft. I'm just giving you the data and the research based on it. But I mean, I'm sure most of you guys use ChatGPT. Throughout it, we see it's the most predominantly used AI, but there's an AI race, right? You find that there's a lot of investment going into it, and the guys want to do it. But I specifically put it here as current risk, and you must be wondering, yeah, but why is it here, Preston? So that AI agent, Copilot, has access to everything. The ChatGPT you know now and every day that you use and you ask it a question, it gives you an answer, conversation over, done. Wake up, think of something else, you ask it a question, conversation over, done. Come ChatGPT-5. Anybody know what's that in the last 2 weeks? Three. ChatGPT-5. The scary part of this and why I have it as a current risk is that it's autonomous, it learns on its own. So, meaning you don't have to ask it to give you information. For example, I used GPT-5, been using it for some time now, even before it was publicly released. And what I mean by it makes decisions on its own. Typically, you would ask ChatGPT something, it'll return something to you in behind. But now you ask it, oh, what about data privacy? Or can you talk to me about data protection? Or you can ask it some actuarial question, I guess, in the side. What it did is it didn't give me the response that I asked it for. It started searching the whole company. Every single meeting I was in, every single email I sent, every single recording in your organization. That's the power of ChatGPT-5, and that's called AGI. And I'll take you guys through that in a second. And that's a massive risk because I never asked it to do that. It did it all on its own. So this is the world that we're getting into, and we are actually at AGI now, and I'll take you guys through that. For me, from a cybersecurity perspective, I care about everything, but the operational risks is something that's very uncontrollable for me. So it may be unique to AI agents, but we need to understand as an organization, how do we even manage something like this? So some of the current risk that what I'm seeing is, you know, data exposure and exfiltration. And the reason I say that is that attackers, I mean, as much as we rely on data, we want it, attackers want it as well. As a cyber person, I employ the follow the data approach, meaning we build layers to protect the organization and yourselves from the perimeter all the way in. And people ask, why is there so many layers of security? Why do you even need it? And I'm like, the harder it is to make it for the attacker, the longer I have to defend as they're breaking through. But the ultimate goal is the same as what we rely on, data. They want your data. They want your data to use it against you, encrypt it, ask you for some Bitcoin, or steal it or delete it and create some, bring your company to a standstill. So our goals is still the same. It's also misuse on AI. I think I've touched on the chain of thought right now, but there's many other things that we can influence AI on, as well as privilege compromise. So they are coming after the agent because you are using the agent. They are coming after the same agent that you use. Basically, it's a bit more personal now, and I hope it's resonating in the sense that everything that you said to the agent in confidence becomes out in the open now. It's no more about what you have on your laptop anymore. It's in your mind. So your mind can get breached through AI. And I wanted you guys to think about that. And then also, the last one was over-reliance on AI outputs, is that people are just automatically trusting it. Yeah, I'm not saying don't trust it. I'm saying it has enough research and it's good at doing certain things. But what happens is that we need to be cognizant of the fact that of what do we stop doing for AI to start doing? And it's a constant thing of like, are we continuously going to trust AI outputs to us, whether you're a developer, an actuary, or HR manager, finance person, you just take it as is. I mean, as human beings, we know that the first time you meet someone, you don't automatically just trust them. You know, you build a relationship, you get to know them a bit better, you share more information, and you hope that information is not used against you. In this essence, when AI is something that's not controlled and not governed in the sense the way we want it applicable to our laws, becomes very, very, very dangerous. On that. I'll give you guys some 2025 insights. So Gen AI traffic increased by 890%. I wouldn't say 12 months, but for us in Old Mutual, I would say in the last 6 months, over 1,000%. I mean, the last time I've seen a society involvement and excitement against or jump and shift towards it was the last time everybody needed to take a COVID jab. So it's really everyone's like really jumping on it. And we're at the pinnacle of transformation. You know, I was speaking to one of these university kids that I'm helping doing a thesis with, and they grew up on technology, digital. And I'm like, you know, I'm so lucky to be living in this era with all of us where we got to see the evolution of a cell phone to where we are right now. I think we're in the golden digital age, I would say, pushing those things forward. Data loss prevention, we call it DLP incidents, also increased 2.5% globally, but here in South Africa, 18%, pushing it forward. That means, like I explained, they're after your data, same as AI. And then I'll share with you some stats that I have internally. On average, they would say each organization uses about 66 Gen AI apps. We 128, and I'm not trying to speak Old Mutual up, but I mean the guys are really tech savvy and they really want to play around with a lot of things, which makes my life very hard. on that, but I mean, yeah, we are at 128 Gen AI apps. Most of it, we've got over 30,000 users using the conversational agent at any point in time. I don't know why people don't want to talk to each other at Old Mutual. But they're having a lot of conversations. Enterprise searches, which is, I spoke to you about GPT-5. We can pick that, we have the ability to pick that up now because it's like, I don't ask AI to do something, why are you doing it? Developers, 14,000 developers, most of our developers, which is, it gives me sleepless nights, that AI is developing code for us. Not a bad thing, but I'm just not a trustworthy person in that sense for AI. Productivity assistance, that's your GPTs, your ChatGPTs, as well as the conversational agent, you can put that together. And then writing assistance, since when did we get so bad at English? So AI is, nobody wants to be authentic anymore. Everyone's like, AI, write me this, move forward. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. And these things are changing like on a monthly basis. I'm giving you just last week's view. On that part. The applications that we're using, I mean, everybody knows Grammarly, the one that makes you look smart or sound smart on that. A lot of Microsoft Power apps, but we have a specific strategy relating to AI and AI apps within the organization. And I hope that in your organizations that's the same. What we did is we chose whether to sanction or unsanction AI apps, and we take it from that. Just to show off a little bit as well, we're already looking at quantum computing. Moving forward, we know it's one of those threats. I don't know if there's any C-level people here, but I know I call it the Davos syndrome. You know, when they go, they fly up in the mountains and they come back and they give us 10 other things to look at and do. But yeah, quantum computing, definitely. I think we'll be leading the curve on this, but we still, you know, the thinking's far ahead, but we're far behind in terms of infrastructure. Another slide. I said I'll talk about the cyber actuary. This is not a recruitment slide. I must put it out there as well. But as I was researching this and how would it impact your profession? How would you use it in your day-to-day lives? Where are you going as a profession? How does it impact you job-wise, personally, I guess, moving forward? And I found a lot of things, and then I came up with the slide, and I'm like, if I look at myself and my team and my cyber guys, and I look at the actuary profession, you and I are not so different, eh? In that sense. I actually put a few points down in terms of similarities. Predictability. For me, if I can predict an attack happen, that's golden for me. It'll never happen. And I think you guys also want to create these fancy stuff to be predictability and make money, I guess, on that side. Same with analytical skills. Definitely we have a lot of common there. We both do risk assessments. My job as a cyber professional is not to say, no, you can't do this. It's to be able to articulate risk in a way a decision can be made by the powers that be. And that's my core focus. And I think you guys look at risks in the same way. I think I was sitting there and someone said something about we like doing presentations, but those things need to be articulated properly for somebody to do and present it in a different way. Problem solving, definitely. Data analysis, I do that a lot. I have a saying to say, if I had to give you one of the cybersecurity reports that I look at, and my saying is, cybersecurity data to an untrained eye looks like a disaster because everything's red. Everything's red. But I see the good in it because I need to see the red to know where to go. But I mean, somebody else looking at it and like, person, you're not doing your job in that way. So, and then obviously regulatory knowledge. I mean, we've driven and we mandated by, you know, the Reserve Bank and stuff pushed forward, as well as communication skills. Debatable, I would say, on that part. And then the differences, I mean, I don't want to focus too much on it, but the focus, I mean, you guys, financial risk, I don't need to tell you all of these things. Means protecting the data by all means necessary. You know, people ask me, what is the five things I need to do to secure this organization? And I'm like, the first mistake you make is thinking that a hacker is sitting there with a ISO 27001 or whatever regulation is and thinking how to break in. No, they just break in. So we have to be smarter and outthink them throughout. Tools and techniques obviously differ, but with the focus on AI, we need to start using it more responsibly. Obviously the work environment, I work next door, I don't know where you guys work on that. Evolving nature of risk, and it's gonna be an interesting time, you know, us moving forward. Anybody Googled what singularity is? Okay. So let's go a little bit, let's bring some physics into it. So singularity means, so the mathematical explanation of singularity, it means at a point in time where a function takes an infinite value, especially in space and time, when matter is infinitely dense, such as the center of a black hole. All you mathematicians, what's that calculation you call? I mean, how far is pi on that? AI superintelligence, and this is where it comes from, physics, is a hypothetical moment in time where artificial intelligence and other technologies have become so advanced that humanity undergoes a dramatic and irreversible change. And I want you guys to take notice once you leave this. Every day, look at your kids, look at society, in the digital age that we're just coming out of, where we're going to be largely AI driven, this is where we're heading to, super intelligence. So, remember the word singularity. So basically, what I would say is that on a superintelligent perspective, the technological progress of AI, it'll become so rapid and profound that it's impossible, or definitely, it'll become definitely impossible for society or technology or even human existence. We won't know what we would look like in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or once ASI or AI superintelligence come into play. So that's why the term singularity comes from, is that we do not know and calculate where we're going to be in the next 10 years. We could do that from the 2000s coming up to now. Now with AI pushing the boundaries, nobody can predict it. So there was something important that I wanted to share. So one of the core concepts of singularity is called an intelligence explosion. And that's what we're on the brink of. So what happens is that, so this is the basic premise that AI becomes so smart, smarter than any human, cognitively, that it could redesign itself, understand its own weaknesses, and make it better on the fly, based on what you ask. each improvement that it makes is easier and faster, and it's just developing. I mean, you guys watch robot movies. I don't need to tell you on that. That's basically what it is, where it starts protecting itself. And basically, it's unpredictable transformation. This one scary part above from risk for me is that society needs to come together more instead of being more divided. Because if you, the moment a machine comes in charge, and believe me, this statement is my own and personal opinion, is that if a machine comes in charge and they look at where we operate, so divided, so everyone's fighting with each other, stuff like that. Yes, there's a lot of good, but if it looks at the bad, it's like going to be like, you guys are your own downfall. Why do you even need to exist? I can run it. And if you apply that AI models that we have right now on society with all the problems, world hunger, everything else going through, like, you guys don't want to fix poverty. You're more interested in flying to the moon. Costs you more on the same. And if you ask the machine to make deductive reasoning, it'll be like, you're basically the architect of your own demise. So that's why we need this huge society shift of actually coming together. And I'll touch on that in a point, in a few slides. I said I'll speak about stages of AI. So artificial narrow intelligence is basically what you were using. Ask ChatGPT something, it returns you something. Conversation over, done, move it. AGI is where we're at right now, which was only predicted to come out 2028, as here now, where it starts looking all over your company and all over your lives. So take that example I did from my company where it looked at all my mails and everything else, and you got an AI engine on your phone, and you're asking the question of, why am I feeling it this way? You'll be like, no, you talked to this girl that last week. She told you this. That's why you're feeling this way. Understand? So it's so smart that it's giving you information you don't even know about. I mean, your feelings are invalid at this point. And it's going to give you the thing. And then we get to the very scary part, which I was speaking about, machine consciousness. I think I touched on it, is in the sense that what, I was going to ask, like, why are you guys even here? Just go have fun, have a good life, go sit at the beach. It'll give you more, statistically, it'll give you more happiness and more pleasure if you're sitting in front of the beach and working in the corporate office. So that's what machines are actually thinking for us. So just to sum it up, AI is narrow intelligence, I've explained it. AGI is human-like intelligence, basically, where it's looking throughout your emails, but it's built in with human emotion, so it can react to you and give you those answers, and then super intelligent, it doesn't need you at all. Narrow intelligence from a cyber perspective is, how do I protect against organizations and people against these things? I have to look at, you ask it something, it processes it, it does all the feature engineering, evaluation improvement, it runs through everything it learned and it gives you an answer. Very quickly, I mean, that's what you do, that's a conversation you do. For me, from a cyber perspective, I need to break it down and understand, okay, what could go wrong in each of these stages? Okay? That was hard for me 2 years ago. It's easy for me now. But what's even harder is when we start looking at general intelligence, where I can't control anything because I don't know what it's going to give you back. And it's something that's called a Turing test. You guys can Google it. But I mean, if you look at all the AI agents right now, it's massive. Everyone's in the race for it, from hardware companies to people saying, my AI is better than your AI, type of stuff. So what it does is it takes the concept of deep learning further. So machines can think and act like humans. You would not know about it. So we have it in software. Imagine that in a robot, which is also in it right now. And yeah, I don't want to scare you guys anymore on that point. Then comes to the super AI, which we're getting to, and the timeline. I'm telling you this now, you can probably 10x it every minute I speak. And that's how close it is, in that sense. So we predicted by 2075 that we'll get super intelligence equilibrium, in the sense that, fine, we can trust it enough to take over the world. But I don't believe that anymore, based on what I know, in terms of super intelligence and what it's doing it. But the human-like capabilities of super AI, and this should scare you, is that this is what's being built into AI right now. So consciousness, meaning it thinks it has a soul and it's alive on that, so it's as good as you. beliefs. It has its own beliefs. Who knows? You could have a Christian AI bot, robot. And I'm not going to belay that point any further. It has desires. That's what they're building it into it. Cognition, we know that. It's built in already. But basically what we did is we took everything on the internet from 2018 and put it into ChatGPT. That was done within a year. Now we're saying, okay, give us everything since the internet was created. And thankfully, we didn't have the internet in World War II. Then there's emotional intelligence, which has been, obviously, for some time, because that's what they're trying to build into AI. But the brain, what was limiting this was the hardware itself. Because if you guys, I'm a real IT nerd, I would say, that the brain performance into data transfer speeds cannot match machine, like chips, right now. Because we can process more than any machine. We have the supercomputer in our mind. Right now, we're building chips that is faster and can process as much data as the brain, meaning nerve endings, feelings, all that type of stuff. It's all being built into hardware now. So it's like building another human out of hardware. Subjective experiences. AI is going to have subjective experiences, like it has conversations all the time. It's going to learn from those conversations, know what not to say, what to say, and how we do it. And then there's behavioral intelligence, as well as super AI, where you have super geniuses, I would say, where it's think about soldiers. They're bred for one purpose, right? And that's how AI is actually moving from there. And then the Davos syndrome again, where we're looking at the global risk benefit. I know I'm talking a lot of negative things, but I mean, the whole point of us moving to this age is to fix the world. And I think if you look at it globally, what are the biggest problems that we want AI to fix, or super AI to fix for us? So nanotechnology, which you're looking at right now, diseases, not AIHD, biotechnology, climate change, somebody said climate change, so here before, as well, space exploration, which we're doing, poverty, world hunger, and quantum computing. Doesn't need us to do that anymore. And that's when the super AI comes out, we just need to do it. But we need to understand that it's an organic revolution. So some experts are concerned about ASI, probably most of them. But the worry is once it's created, it might be tough to control. I think it will be tough to control in the sense that it'll be super highly useful. It'll tell you things as it is, but it might speed up progress in other technology sectors, and I mean all of these sectors that I just list. But remember the word singularity? So you get technological singularity, meaning that the machine becomes so powerful and super powerful that there's no weakness. Every single weakness it starts, you know, defending itself against and pushing it through. So it's exciting, but also a bit scary. So this is why I'm putting emphasis on the risk of us actually having these ethical standards for AI, and when it comes, super AI, and when it comes on, and how we need to do it. I'll touch on a little bit of cyber attacks that we've seen from an individual perspective. So advanced phishing attacks, everybody knows what's phishing. But AI-related phishing is where it's hyper-personal. Hyper-personal. If it has access to your mailbox, it knows that every month you pay your DSTV account. Nobody needs to tell it, but it could create an email. It doesn't need to come from the outside. You can create an email in your mailbox. Say, hey, DSTV, pay me, but the banking details are different. It knows so much. We have targeted bot attacks. If you guys don't know what bots, be very scared, very, very, very scared. At the current rate, when I looked at it early last year, we had 1 to 4 bots on the internet, meaning you as a person on the internet, there's 4 people against you. We're sitting at 8 in January, probably 16 bots per human being right now. So we're outnumbered in terms of attack. Meaning, if I had to explain that, you walk into this building, it's you, also your watch, also your phone, also your iPad, also your laptop. That's the 4 to 1. So multiply that by each population, you can understand hardware and the devices coming through. So the reason I'm telling you this is that I have to protect organizations against armies of bots that are controlled by one human, a syndicate group, that's just using and coming after us at a scale that You have nothing. I mean, who wants to get attacked by a Samsung fridge? You know? I mean, we chase this thing, spend sleepless nights, and then wake up in the morning and it's like, oh no, there's someone's fish tank is used in trying to attack me. And I'm like, what do? I can't kill the fish. I can't turn it off, I'm going to go on the offensive. And that's the type of level that we're dealing at. Social engineering, AI, like I said, it's hyper-personal. So it's gonna mimic the person that you love the most. You see that? You won't even be able to tell the difference. Wait until we get to the next slide. And malware exploits, I spoke to you about malware generation, DDoS and large-scale attacks. From then, evasion techniques, deep fakes. Everybody understands what's deep fakes, right? I'll show you an example in that. Malicious GPTs, you know, I saw something, actuary GPT, anybody, I mean, you guys never use it. So there's each agent for each profession, right? I'm not sure if you understand that. So there's an HR GPT, there's a cyber GPT, there's an actuary GPT, there's a finance GPT, where it's trained to be you. So you can't ask it another question. So that means it specializes in actuary. So imagine having a malicious actuary. Yeah, I mean, you guys could know what goes wrong, right? So it's such a finite line that it's so close to doing bad. Where before we could tell, a human was sometimes too lazy to do bad against you or attack you. But the AI can do it like that tomorrow, like now. It'll be like, you're asking the question, boom, I don't like you anymore, bang. That type of stuff. Attack automation, meaning I was talking to you about the bots, where the fridge and the fish tank and everything's coming after us, in that sense. We don't know how it's controlled. Imagine the movie, worse. We see it now. Content filtering. This one I want to touch on is because I came up with this concept because we've been using content filtering for quite some time. Sometimes I like finding new ways to solve old problems. Back in the day, you guys remember, you can't browse this website at the work. You'll get a block page to say, no, you can't go here anymore. Okay? That same concept needs to be employed in the organization of what you can ask and what you can say to AI. Because I can't control what it's going to say you back. Remember, it's super AGI right now. So we need to start looking at content, and do organizations want to limit and actually filter what your employees want to say to your AI? And that goes to your personal lives as well, with kids and everything else. And then it comes to what you've been waiting for, the cyber attack that we've been faced with. So I was lucky enough to sit on a national level with law enforcement, almost up to government, as well as the Hawks, and going after a specific syndicate that was targeting the financial services industry. What happened to us was I got a tip-off line. I mean, I sit in many forums with the banks regarding that there's a WhatsApp scam targeting financial people. I mean, everybody gets those groups, you know, make this money, invest into this product. I'm not going to get into products. That's your guys' job. But yeah, trading, give me 100 Rand, I'll give you 200 Rand next week, some type of money. But this was on a scale that we've never seen before. So the syndicate involved an active WhatsApp group, so it is called N71, there's many of them, but the N71 was the main one, where group admins manages the narrative around these groups. So you'll be added to this group, whether it's Telegram, WhatsApp, anything else. You'll see people winning money. Hey, I won this today. Hey, I just invested, thank you for this. And it creates a sense of, oh, I want to win too. You're in the group. You won't believe how many people fall for it. You won't believe. These people that are posting it are all part of the global syndicate. Sometimes you're not allowed to reply. The moment you say, hey, I didn't get paid out, you deleted and removed the group immediately. But let me tell you how organized these guys are. When I was sitting with law enforcement, the only way I could do it was to follow the money, right? Because for people who paid for me to go after these guys, to find out how it happened, where it was. So we saw money going, I think it was into Durban. It gets split into different accounts and some cash was taken out there. Then when we found the guy in the ATM and he looked at his face, and the cops, I'm sitting there, I'm from the private sector, and the cops would be like, hey, that's the same guy that was involved in, we're looking after him for kidnapping. I'm like, what? So I kept quiet and I'm listening, and then I'm like, where is it? Like, no, it's the same syndicate. We traced them to France, which a company that was registered in South Africa last year, September. Shell company, no owner, anything, registered with the bank account. I'm not going to mention it, but banks to open accounts is way too easy here. Way too easy in South Africa to open up an account compared to the rest of the world. Here, trace them to France. We suspect it's a France syndicate, global, but they are local people involved as well. So basically what they did was they created an investment platform, meaning something better than what the actuaries can design, in my opinion, including a mobile application called OMIG, with the OMIG branded logo. They went after us hard. So they tried to be OMIG to the public. That's what they did. They took OMIG's identity and sold products, I wouldn't say better than us, but as good as us. As good as us. They gave us some tips. I would say, I hope the financial advisors took some tips from this. The syndicate may have initially impersonated other financial services. I put that out because it's recorded, but they did other financial services as well, organizations, and that's what they did. And then I want to introduce to you Trevor. This is how they came after us. So they find someone in your organization with a financial background, so somebody in finance or in actuary, be careful. What you put out there, your social media and everything else, anything related to finance or you deal with finance in an organization, they will come after you. They went after one of our guys, Trevor. Left about a month ago, but I have permission to share. His side, he's my best friend. Apparently, I'm invited for a beer in Australia on that with the late nights we had. But I mean, raise your right hand or left hand, depending on the picture, which one you think is real and fake. Let's go quickly. If you think the left is real, raise your left hand. If you think the right is real, raise your right hand. Oh. Okay, you can put it down. Sorry to do that to you. Both of them are real. It's not AI. It's just, I mean, for the ladies in the audience, you don't know what filters look like. I mean, that was his wedding picture. I'm sure he had a filter on it. But I mean, that's Trevor. They went after him, the syndicate. They said, Trevor got an award for some financial thing. I don't know what you guys get awards for, but yeah, one of those awards. They won him out and went after him then, looked at him. He had unwillingly been invited to some actuarial event and he got recognized. Nothing to do with Old Mutual at all. But they found him, they found who he worked for and tied all of that together. So Trevor, can't remember exactly what it is, but he did some finance. He's based in Sydney, Australia. I thought this is a made-up character because I couldn't find him anywhere in the country and gal. Little did I know this dude is sitting in Australia. And then he worked for OMIG until a month ago, but not because of the attack. He's genuinely moved throughout. But this is how they went after him. They created Facebook stuff because he had a Facebook account. That's Trevor, the AI Trevor. You just remember his real picture? Can you even tell the difference? That's AI Trevor. So they created a brand new Facebook profile for him. Here's the, I was showing, telling you M71, there's M201 groups. This is a global syndicate. This is what it looks like in WhatsApp. Hello, speaking as Trevor. This is who I am. All these different groups has different people of society in here, all around the country. There's securities, stock trading. Oh, I'm sure I'm tickling your fancy in most of all of these things, but they're really good. Really, really good. They give you market analysis, trends, what you invest in, how you do it. They created a whole new mutual company. We don't even know about it. Bank accounts, mobile app, and I'll take you through it. This is the level that AI went, not them. Let me just rephrase, that they used AI to do all of this on this stuff. Better than we could use it. They had their own website. And you know the tough part about this? I mean, I can take down websites. I know people in high places can take down websites for us, right? But these guys had so much money, they had better firewalls than us. Couldn't take this thing down. But you could log in with your phone number. Guess what? The moment you logged in and signed a profile, you got a call from a call center. Welcome to OMIG. Let me help you make your first deposit. That type of stuff. They also have online trading. I mean, you can get an investment product, but you can also trade with us. Have their own trading platforms. It even aligns with regulatory frameworks. They're legit. I don't know where's that from, but they have a disclaimer. Do you guys come up with the disclaimers? I don't know. And performance. But yeah, look at that. They have a trading platform. How you deposit the money and whatever. And people were paying money. Life savings, retirements. Husband's money, wife's money. People were calling in. Not even Old Mutual customers. Other bank customers. Phoning in, giving the money. They want the money back from Old Mutual. We did not know anything about this. On their part. They also had a mobile app on the App Store. Android, iOS, works like a dream. I couldn't, and if you guys don't know how hard it is to launch a mobile app onto the App Store, it's rigorous to get there. Apple has all of these insane checks. Samsung has, or the Android App Store has all of these insane checks. And they got the mobile app. Eventually, I was the first in the country to break the scam because I took down the mobile app, which was where the money was going through on that side. And we broke the entire scam. No, none of the other banks started to do that because everybody was hedging their bets on going on the offensive. And I'm like, people's lives and money is going here. So I had to go on the offensive a little bit. I went after the developer, not the attacker, the person who made this for them. Found the guy sitting in India, works for some newspaper there. That's all I'm going to say on their part. But I also learned some interesting stuff in the attack is that if somebody writes a bad article about you or discriminatory contract or what do you call it, where they attack you, malicious attacks, and really come after you, defamation in a newspaper, you can sue them for it, right? Under international law, if somebody writes it on a blog, you can't. Because blogs are not governed by the First Amendment in the United States. And they put these things on blogs in the United States. Because it's freedom of speech, right? Freedom of speech. I was going through the motions on this one. I was like I enjoy it, but this one is really frustrating. Yeah, but they had a mobile app. And then let me take you through how they sold the product. This is what they created from Trevor with all the information I've given you. And this is how they got people.
South Africa stands at a pivotal moment of economic transformation. The government is driving the National AI Quantitative Trading Initiative, leveraging OMIG Security's fintech platform to help citizens easily participate in capital markets, enhance wealth growth efficiency, and inject new momentum into the national economy. Traditional investing has high barriers and uncontrollable risks. Most South Africans lack financial tools and hedging methods. OMIG Security's AI quantitative trading system monitors local risk factors in real time, such as power cuts, exchange rate fluctuations, and union strikes, intelligently optimizing asset allocation so ordinary people can enjoy professional-grade wealth management. The SA AI Quant Project is led by OMIG Securities, co-developed with Sinai and CHPC, and regulated under FSC and Node. All transactions are cleared in real time with full compliance and transparency, building a secure and trustworthy AI-powered investment platform. The program is led by Dr. Trevor Abramowitz, with 20 years of experience in tech and finance. He spearheaded Anglo-American's digital transformation, designed power outage hedging algorithms for mines, and helped draft South Africa's algorithmic trading regulatory framework. In 2022, he received the African FinTech Innovation Award and is recognized as a pioneer in AI quantitative applications. With an entry point of just under 2,000, it's ideal for both beginners and high net worth users. OMIG Securities fully supports AI quantitative trading, using high-frequency algorithms and intelligent risk control to generate stable returns for South African investors. The platform also introduces a three-tier referral program with unlimited invites and compounding rewards. Tier A, 5% commission on their trading profits. Tier B, 3% commission. Tier C, 2% commission. All commissions are automatically settled and paid by the platform, ensuring true financial dividends for all. OMIG Security's AI system delivers five layers of protection. real-time analysis, monitors market data 24/7, forecasting volatility trends. Smart Stock Selection combines technical, fundamental, and AI models to find high-potential stocks. High-frequency trading captures buy sell opportunities automatically. Risk Control System dynamically rebalances to avoid sudden risks. Profit Range. Daily returns between 3% to 10%, suitable for different investor stages. Register an HNWI account to activate your multi-tier income stream. Your direct invitees, you earn 5% of their profits. Their invitees, you earn 3% of their profits. Third level invitees, you still earn 2%. This structured model creates a truly passive income system just for you. Here's an example of referral income. Client A uses their unique invite code to register client B. A earns 5% of B's profits. B invites C, B earns 5%, A earns 3%. C invites D, C earns 5%, B earns 3%, A earns 2%. That's the magic of a mixed referral structure, building a wealth multiplication network of fees. Why now? Ride the AI quant investment wave. Unlimited referrals, unlimited earnings. Fully transparent settlement, auto payouts. Dual track income from investing plus referrals, build your wealth cycle effortlessly. Register your OMIG Securities HNWI account now. With just our 2,000, unlock AI trading and dual income potential. Join OMIG Securities. Let AI work for your money. Let referrals generate passive income. Start now, your transformation begins today.
Anybody want to invest? I can pick up the mobile app again. Yeah, I mean, even Trevor was shocked. He was like, maybe that's how he got the next job. He just used the video. And he's like, I don't even do this stuff, Justin. And but he was also pissed off that he says, no, I'm more handsome than the way they did AI itself. But now imagine, believable, right? How many people fell for this on that level? I'll tell you, they even had call centers, like I said, but they give you how-to guide, like a proper company, like fully, you know? I don't know if the sound is playing here or not, but yeah.
In the homepage, click on...
I just put two of those videos in.
Then click on Click to claim your free 30 days membership trial. There are four Typo MIG membership categories. Fund, institutions, high net worth investors, individual investors. Within the trading advice feature, you can access daily recommended stocks tailored to your investment profile.
Yep, and then section five, they had...
How to make a deposit.
They were guiding you through it on that. But yeah, I'm almost over time, and I just want to close with the last slide, and I'm happy to take questions, if any, on that. But where are we right now, and how do we want to maneuver through this AI era? If you remember my favorite line I had in my first slide, and I said, my favorite part about cyber is that even if you do everything right, there's still a good chance you can get it wrong. I'm fixing yesterday's problems, and here's tomorrow on that side. So we are in muddy waters from a cyber perspective. The pace is evolving, and it's unpredictable, I think, like I've shared with you guys. But we also need to look at the post-truth society. I think it's out there if you guys can research it or not, but I extracted something that I'd like to share with you guys is that once we get to ASI, you know, telling you about the super intelligent stuff, what would happen to us in the sense is that the truths about individuals, groups, companies, organizations, you know, they just become meaningless and worthless. So that erodes completely. I really want you to think about that. And then what happens with that is that nobody is responsible, nobody is accountable. We can just easily blame the computer. Where does it leave us? Because you can't hold AI accountable. How are you going to hold AI accountable? Send it to jail? You know? So it's an ongoing thing. I think, well, a lot of people predict it. They say society would become worse due to the unpredictability and uncontrollably uncontrolled AI. But to prevent the emergence of a post-truth society, which is where we're heading, and the guys, it will get better, don't worry, I'm not saying it's going to be doom or gloom, doom and gloom. But we need to regain accountability and responsibility in computing. That's where we are right now. Not only ICT engineers, but actuaries as well. You guys hold the keys to this, if you don't believe it already. We have to acquire sufficient knowledge and skill, meaning in the digital era, our kids and everything else needs to be, you know, more throughout. And then we need to have ICT educational programs. That's nothing from what we ever learned before, been to university. I mean, everybody needs to have an IT background. Remember I spoke about data analytics and the similarities? We need to be good on that, really good on that. You also need to do high degree prompting, meaning how you talk to AI anymore is not like master and slave. It's here, it's your companion. Talk to it like you would talk to a human being. I know it sounds crazy. That's the way it's designed to do it, not the way we ask it, and that way. So that means you have to be a master prompter. Prompter will be a skill, learning how to talk to AI. Digital cyber warfare, it's already happening, I've showed you guys. That's what we're up against on that. And then in closing, I'd like to say on the slide is that trying to fight the machine is impossible, we lost already. Meaning the machine was built from high IQ, meaning it does everything smarter than us, faster than us, through it. We trying to fight that is impossible, give that up already. But in the world that we're moving, which is a high IQ world, how we combat that is what we humans have within that AI would never have, EQ, on a level that we cannot understand. And that's how we balance the world moving forward. But yeah, thank you guys for the time and the opportunity. I hope that was good. And if there's any questions, yeah, we can take it from there.
All right, because of our time, maybe we can have one question, just a burning one for Preston. Yes, in the front.
In terms of preventing cyber risk or mitigating some of that cyber risk, to what extent is cyber insurance and incident response to cyber attacks a viable option?
So all of us have cyber insurance, right? I meet with them on a yearly basis. They fly in from London. Every time I said I want to come, they're like, no, we like Cape Town more. But they asked me a very crazy question. I mean, I met 2 years ago, I think it was, when we were going through load shedding. And they asked me, Preston, what is the most, what do you guys do from a cyber perspective when load shedding hits? I said, we have something that no other country in the world has. If the power's out, the system's off, I don't need to worry. Or that. So we are the most secure from load shedding. So I love load shedding. I know you guys don't, but I mean, everything's off. But I mean, from an insurance liability perspective, how do you even quantify that? Because I get, like in our policies and other organizations, is that insurers are getting more smarter in the sense that they'll be like, okay, we'll give you a risk for password breaches or identity theft or somebody stole your site. There's a excess, there's a fee and stuff for that. But you could be good. But remember, it's very hard to get MFA on everybody in the organization, right? You'll be 98% compliant. But there'll be like the 2% was your entryway. That's your risk on that side. So you're probably smarter than me in that and how you calculate risk and coverage from that perspective. But yes, it should be covered. But how do we even quantify that? Like, are you putting AI as a system or as a person coming after you? Is it a geopolitical threat? Is it a national disaster or not? Because right now, everybody's paused because super AI is really emerging right now. So they also use AI to try and calculate the premiums in the sense of what would you charge us. I mean, I'm thankful enough, or maybe I'm good at talking to them, that I get a reduction in premium year on year. But now, I don't know anymore. I wish I had the answer for you. But yes, there should be a liability cover for us. It's going to be really expensive, but I would take it.
Awesome. Thank you.